Good morning, radio entrepreneurs. Today we are here with an exciting guest, Mari Ryan, CEO and founder of Advancing Wellness, and it's great to have you here today, Mari.
Thanks so much, John. I'm delighted to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Advancing Wellness.
Well, I founded this company about 12 years ago, and the reason that I founded this company was I was a burnt-out road warrior. I had been working as a business consultant. I spent my entire career in business, and I was working as a business consultant, and I was traveling 3,000 or 6,000 miles a week for almost 2 years.
Wow.
And I got home at the end of my last assignment, which was for Hewlett-Packard at Microsoft, and I said, this life sucks. Whoops, can I say that? I guess I just did. And I just knew that there was something, you know, there were a lot of things missing in my life. And I didn't really feel like I had relationships. I didn't have connections in my community. The work that I was doing was interesting, and I was getting paid really well, but it didn't really have meaning for me. And I hired a life coach to help me work on figuring out what was the right thing for me to be doing next. And after, it took almost 2 years, 3 years actually, to find the thing that I knew that I wanted to do for the rest of my career. And that's to be working with businesses to help them create healthy workplaces where their employees can show up and be happy, healthy, productive, engaged, and really enjoy coming to work.
And that's a huge return on investment for the entrepreneur, because you see a lot of businesses where the people aren't engaged, they're miserable when you walk in, and it just, you know, it kind of transcends through the whole company, and then, you know, sales start to drop. So how do you bring that sense of engagement and enlightenment to the folks to make them happy?
Well, we all think happiness is that elusive element, right? What I do specifically is I really work with the senior leaders or human resources or a couple of different specific roles within an organization to help them develop a strategy for how they're going to create a healthy, well workplace. And this goes across many different aspects of the workplace. And fundamentally, it really starts with the culture of the organization. If the culture isn't, you know, the kind of supportive culture where people feel connected to the business, to the mission and the vision of, you know, what the business is about, then people really don't feel like, you know, well, why am I here? Are we just producing widgets or filling boxes, or, you know, is there really a connection? So we really like to start with purpose. We like to really help the organization describe the values that are really what drive the way that behavior, you know, the way people behave in the business, you know, the integrity with which they do business. And those values really are so key to really being able to make it feel for people that this is a place where I can feel connections. And so you work with just looking at a variety of different elements within the workplace that are really going to be able to help create that environment where people can feel happy, where they can feel that they're connected, where they have a purpose, where they enjoy being with the people that they're working with. And it's natural then that when that kind of a workplace is created, that business owners and senior leaders can see that they can accomplish their business objectives because their people are happy and productive.
You know, ironically, it's not just manufacturing or food service. You hear a lot of professionals say, I don't see a finished product. I don't know the result of my work. So what industries are you servicing?
Well, it's interesting that we can work in any industry. Wherever there are employees and people is where we can work. Currently, I'm working with, for the second time, with a hospital system, a three hospital system in the greater Boston area that has about 4,000 employees. And you can imagine the challenges in a hospital where there's 7x24, there's a variety of different types of jobs, you know, from the clinical staff who are highly educated, to the lower wage workers who do housekeeping and parking attendants and grounds. So there's a real variety of different types of jobs in an organization like that. I'm also currently working with a health plan, one of the top Massachusetts health plans, has about 1,200 employees, is one of our clients, but we've worked across all different types of industries, manufacturing and professional services. So really, it's not so much about the industry as much as it is about creating that kind of workplace and culture where people feel like they really want to come to work.
And is it difficult, sort of an open-ended question around, it's got to be somewhat difficult to get people to change sometimes. I mean, that's always the challenge everywhere is, you know, people get used to things and they don't want change.
Well, and especially when it comes to personal behavior change, in some ways, and change is what's so difficult. You know, it's hard for all of us. You know, we have to be motivated. We have to be intrinsically motivated to want to change. If I don't have a reason why I want to change, then I'm never going to make that change. And the same holds true when you think about this at an organizational level. You know, change is constant, and we have to be able to learn to deal with change both personally and within the systems in which we live every day. And that is absolutely, that's the hard part.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
So how do you uncover
it?
when I'm an entrepreneur and I want to engage your services as a consultant, how do you uncover some of what needs to change? Is there a process that you could explain to the entrepreneurs today that they would go through?
Well, I have a very detailed process. It starts with an assessment and some data gathering. We really want to understand as much as we can, ask a lot of questions, do interviews. We often do focus groups with employees, because while we can do a survey with employees to gather the quantitative information, it's that qualitative data that really is meaningful. We hear things in focus groups that you just never hear any other way.
You know, if the survey is a questionnaire, they also don't always answer it honestly, or they go through it quickly and they don't give it credence. So,
So
that qualitative interviews are where you really. Now, do you have psychologists or psychiatrists or other folks on board? I mean,
no.
Could this get ugly?
No, hopefully not. No, you know, we're not delving into personal psyches or anything like that.
Thankfully,
it's really more about really understanding how the conditions in the workplace, for example, here's a good example how to make this real. A number of years ago, I was working with a manufacturing company. They're Massachusetts-based, but they had divisions in six states. So I visited one of their locations in Indianapolis. I was doing some interviews, did some interviews with the senior leaders, you know, the general manager. Then I was meeting for a focus group with the employees. And throughout the focus group, I kept hearing this conversation about the afternoon break. And afterwards, I went to the general manager and I said, "Tell me the story about the afternoon break." And he said, "Oh, we did away with that 2 years ago." And now here it is, you know, 2 years later, employees are still talking about this. So that tells you something about their feelings, how they feel like they might be treated in the workplace. It's those kinds of artifacts and indicators that really help us uncover details that can tell us a little bit about what's going on in the workplace and with the culture.
So it goes beyond financial incentives. It's
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, you know, it's so interesting. In the years that I've been doing this work, I've spent a lot of time looking at, you know, some of the social science research around things like incentives. And it's so interesting that the social science research says that incentives really don't work. And yet they're, you know, something we use all the time, right? You know, think it, how you motivate your salespeople is you give them a spiff or, you know, some sort of a bonus, and how common financial incentives are. And they're very common in use with wellness programs and health-related programs as well. And yet the social science says that unless we have some sort of an intrinsic reason to want to be able to change or to do something, that it won't lead to long-term behavior change.
Well, the other complexity now that I see in the field is a lot of industries and businesses have multiple cultures acting within their workplace. And I'm sure you bringing wellness to that population is a challenge, because what satisfies me may not satisfy Alex or Chris.
Well, exactly. Right. We do have to, it's, you know, it's hard to do a one-size-fits-all type of thing. One of the things we really have to look at is how do we do things that are going to address the needs and the interests, and the interests are really the key piece to this. You know, while you might have health risks, or there might be particular things that, you know, we know are costing the organization from a, maybe a healthcare cost perspective, but what we really focus on is what do people want to do? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the key things that we really dive into, is to try to uncover what is it that people are interested in doing and how do they want to do that? Because that's going to motivate people to want to be part of something.
And the describe the handout, The Thriving Hive.
Well, I recently published a book. It's called The Thriving Hive, How People-Centric Workplaces Ignite Engagement and Fuel Results. And it's written as a business parable, so it's a story. It is set in a beehive, actually two beehives. One is the alive hive, and one is the dive hive. So where do you think you might want to work?
I would hope the alive hive.
Exactly.
So what geography and what market do you serve? Is there a special size company? If I'm an entrepreneur and I want to hire you as a consultant, you know, do you go local? Do you go national?
I'm based in the greater Boston area, but I've had clients in numerous states, and we've delivered services across the U.S. So we don't consider our services necessarily to be geographically bound. But we do need to show up in, wherever the place it might be. So we do a lot of, obviously the nature of our services is very much in person. So we do spend a lot of time getting to know our clients. No industry constraints. No, not really.
And what about size?
Well, we tend to work with larger organizations just because, they have more at stake, I guess you might say, they're looking at controlling healthcare costs. They're looking to be able to attract the kind of people who they need to be able to be competitive. They want to keep their employees engaged, and they want to make sure that they don't leave. So all of those elements of attracting, engaging, and retaining the workforce, that goes across any industry and any size.
And it is a huge, huge, huge challenge for most industries to attract and retain, especially as companies have done away with training programs, and it's just really becoming a big problem, I think, for a lot of different industries.
And now, so especially because the economy is better, and it's finding top and keeping top talent is really a key business issue these days.
Mm-hmm. So this was Molly Ryan of Advancing Wellness. And if people want to get in touch with you, how's the best way to reach out to you?
Probably through our website, which is at advwellness.com.
Well, this was very informative, and I think your point of getting a return on investment by keeping the people happy is just a great thing to be fighting for and to be offering to clients. So I greatly appreciate your time. I'm John Dustin of JED Insurance and Radio Entrepreneurs, and thank you, Mari. That was an excellent segment.
Thanks, John.